Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into The Oasis. And I tell you, this podcast is very special. And I believe that the Lord gave us the name The Oasis for a reason. Because I believe that many people are weary, they're tired, they need to be encouraged. And that's exactly what this podcast is designed to do, to encourage you, to refresh you, so that after you take some time here listening and getting out your Bible and kind of looking at the verses that we're talking about and listening to the stories, I believe that you're going to go, man, I just feel changed. I just feel encouraged. I just feel like the Lord's done something in me. So let me open in a word of prayer and let's go right to the Word of God. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for my friends. And I'm just praying that God, right now, their ears will hear. And Father, I just want to thank you that you're the God who gives hearing ears. So Father, as we speak forth the word of God, I thank you that faith comes by hearing. So Father, we release the spirit of faith to go into the ear, go right into the heart, and to produce a change. And so Father, we receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week, as we began the journey, and I began, you know, just sharing our testimony, my testimony, I began with communion. And I really think when it comes down to our Christian walk, communion is everything. And I there's a lot to learn about in the Bible. I mean, there's a lot. But I think the most important is simply communion. And when you humble yourself and you get before the Lord's presence, there's nothing he can't do. And he can begin to mold you and direct your steps and begin to change you. What usually happens to us is that we get a little proud, a little hard-hearted, and before you know it, we're not really in communion and the Lord can't change us. And, you know, I've been at this for a little while. And the longer I've been at walking by faith and walking in this Christian life, the more I realize I don't know much and I really need to change. And I think that's usually the biggest part of Christian maturity is when you begin to realize, you know, I want to change. I want to be more like Jesus. Now, in John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says this, and this is so important, these verses. It says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Underline that, brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And I really believe that's important because, you know, we were created to produce fruit. And the fruit that we produce comes out of this communion. And I really believe to the level or to the degree that we really are open and bear before the Lord to change and to press in to know him, to be like him, then fruit comes out. And it just begins to grow out of us because that's how we were created. And now, I have here the Wiest New Testament. Kenneth Wiest, so that's W-U-E-S-T, Wiest. I really love his New Testament. And, you know, I'm going to read here what he says. The same verses we just read. And we're going to read them from the Wiest New Testament. He says, maintain a living communion with me, and I with you. Just as the branch is unable to be bearing fruit from itself as the source, unless it remains in a living union with the vine, so neither you, unless you maintain a living communion with me. And I'm not sure if there's anything more powerful in the New Testament than that command, maintain a living communion with me. And, you know, when you go over to the book of, you know, Colossians, chapter 1, very powerful verse, and it talks about, you know, God was pleased to have the fullness of the Godhead dwell in Jesus. In chapter 2, he repeats it, you know, that the fullness of who God is and the Father is, it's in Jesus. And in chapter 3, the Bible says that what? We're hid. Our life is hid with God in Christ. We're in that fullness. And that is, boy, I tell you what, when we hunger for that communion, that relationship, and we begin to realize that we're dwelling in fullness, there is no lack in the Lord. There's no lack. I mean, you're talking about the fullness of who God is. And so Wiest really hits it for us here. Maintain a living communion. And because of that living communion, I tell you what, we began to bear fruit and we began to say, you know what, this is really what life is about. Now, it doesn't mean that your life is going to be real easy. No, it doesn't say that. But it does say that you're going to bear fruit. And when you begin to bear fruit, oh, I tell you what, you're so happy. It's almost like, you know, you see that grapevine and then it's growing, turns green. And then before you know it, it's got wonderful, beautiful grapes. And you love to go over there and you begin to eat the grapes because that vine wasn't just meant to be a vine. It was meant to produce grapes. And, you know, there's just something about when you see an apple tree or a pear tree, and you see all that beautiful fruit, that is the climax. That is the purpose of the tree, is to be full of fruit. And it's the same way with you and I, is that living communion is everything to the Lord, to you, and concerning bearing fruit. Now, I tell you, I remember back, I ended up going to university, Oral Roberts University, and I was just really just pressing into the Lord. I really wanted God's calling upon my life. I knew there was a purpose. Didn't know what it was. Didn't know that I was called to the ministry per se. But I wanted God's calling, God's purpose for me. And I think that's where you honestly begin. I don't think you begin saying, I want to be in the ministry. I didn't begin that way. I just wanted to be in communion with the Lord. I wanted to know him. And so I remember I'd go out, I'd just spend time at night pressing into praying and worshiping God, and time would just go by, and I would just be so filled with his presence and with his love, and I didn't realize it, but he was able to begin to order my steps. Now, when I got over to the university, you know, I realized, okay, I'm here. I need to study. I need to learn. But I thought, Lord, I'm not going to hold my life back. If there's something you want me to be involved in, then I want to do it. And so I remember within that first, you know, few weeks of school, they had a rush night. And rush night is when all the campus clubs come out, they set up their tables, and so they let all the new students know this is what you can be involved in. Well, at Oral Roberts University, there was a lot of different clubs. And so I'm walking around looking at all the different things. And there's the evangelism. Friday night street evangelism. Saturday night street evangelism. And I just felt this pull in my heart. And I had never really, I mean, witnessed to anyone before. I mean, I didn't see myself as an evangelist. And so, but in my heart, I just thought, this is what I'm supposed to do. And then that, you know, commitment, I'm not going to hold my life back. I'm going to give you everything. And so I began to put my life out there in a place so that the Lord could direct my steps. That's important. If you continue to live in the shadows of your fears and of your own self-interest, then you're not available to God and he really can't direct you. And one thing that I realize with the Lord is when we're really pressing into him and praying, you know, he takes time a lot of times before he shows us his perfect will, because he's allowing us to change. He's allowing us to press in until we're really convinced we want God's will. I think a lot of times the Lord doesn't want to quickly show us his purpose, because then he has to hold us accountable for what he showed us. And so in his grace, he keeps a lot of things back from us and just keeps us accountable for what we know and where we are in our growth to the Lord. But you know what? You're not created to be satisfied. You're, you know, just with, you know, where you are for the rest of your life. I think the saddest thing is to find an elderly Christian who really has never changed. It is exactly the same as they were when they were maybe 20, 21 years old when they gave their lives to the Lord or whatever it is. And boy, you're not created for that. You're created to go, wow, there's a purpose on my life. And I need to begin to simplify my life in my pursuit of God, so that he can begin to build my life in his purpose. And so the Lord watches us. He watches us, and he's very proud as we're pressing in and doing what's right and sowing good seed, sowing, you know, God seed, faith seed into the direction of God for our lives. And then when the time comes, he begins to show us the step of faith. And whatever he shows is exactly what is needed to begin to take faith steps. Well, here I am. I'm like, okay, Friday night evangelism. And so I remember I showed up that first Friday night, and I was scared. And there was a wonderful brother. His name was Kevin. He was a graduate student, and he was about, I don't know, he had to be about 6'10". He was really tall. I just remember always looking up to him. And boy, I tell you what, he was bold. And so here we are, we're getting together, he's like, okay, we're going to go out. It's Friday night and a lot of people are going to be out tonight. We're going to go out to the stretch where, people have their cars, and, we're just going to, you know, walk around, hand out tracts and witness. Now, this is how I got my beginning. So we all prayed, and then we went and began to drive over to the area where we're going to do our evangelism. So we drive over there, and then we park, and everybody gets out. We're in a circle. And so now Kevin is beginning to, you know, divvy it us, you know, put us into little teams and send us out. Well, he begins to, you know, you two, you go over there, see those wonderful teenage girls over there, go and witness to them. And then he says to a couple more of the students, you know, you guys go over to those teenage boys over there and you go witness to them. And so now it's me and Kevin. And he says, Brother Eric, he says, you see the bike gang over there? You and I are going to go over there and witness to them. And I'm like, can't I go and witness to those little teenage girls over there? I mean, this is like new for me. And I kept hearing in my heart, Lord, I give you my life. I'm never going to take it back. I'm never going to take it back. And so I'm like, okay, I'll go with Kevin and I'll watch how he witnesses to these guys on these Harley Davidsons drinking beer. And I don't know what else they're involved in. But I'm just a farm boy from Ohio. I've never done this before. So we walk over there and he introduces himself, and you know, these guys are kind of looking at him and looking at me, and I have no idea what they're thinking. I don't want to know what they're thinking, actually. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to watch Kevin. So Kevin introduces himself, and then he says, well, this is Brother Eric, and he wants to share the gospel with you. And I tell you what, I almost fainted. This is how I began. I didn't begin with, you know, teenage girls or teenage boys. I began with Kevin pushing me right into the middle of these guys on motorcycles and, you know, share your testimony, you know, preach the gospel to them. And I have no idea to this day what I said. I don't know. And, but I got through it, and, you know, I ended up going home that night, and I got into my dorm room and I thought, what have I done? But it all goes back to the prayer. Lord, I gave you my life. I'm not going to take it back. I'm going to follow you. And, you know, like I shared in that first podcast, you know, saying yes to the call of God. And, of course, I didn't share about how the Lord healed me. And I'm sure in another podcast I'll talk about how he also immediately healed me, spoke to me about following him. And then I had to learn how to follow him. Of course, I was going to go to a different school. Well, that other school, I would not be having these experiences. God wanted me at Oral Roberts University where I could go out with Brother Kevin and begin to learn to witness to people. And so I went to sleep that night very excited, but also, wow, Lord, what direction are we going with this thing? And so every Friday night, we would go out and then I remember some of these, I mean, you know, college guys, when they are turned on and they're on fire, they just want to do all kinds of stuff. And I remember one night, a couple of the guys go, we're going to go out to the bus station. We're going to witness to people all night. And of course, if you've ever been to at a bus station, at the middle of the night or 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, you meet people that you don't usually see during the day. I mean, it's a different group of people. And so, and of course, we went out and did that. And that was quite an experience for me. But it goes back to, Lord, I'm not going to take my life back. And so I remember, you know, to the one night, a guy says, well, listen, for evangelism tonight, We've got a rock and roll band, a heavy metal band coming in to Tulsa, and we need to go down there and evangelize because, you know, there's going to be a lot of people outside the concert that they don't go inside the concert. They stay outside because they don't have money for the ticket. And, of course, they buy drugs and it's drinking. And so we went down there, and now I'm getting more bold. I'm learning to use my faith to pray for people, and so I'm out there, and I start to witness to this tough-looking guy. He's got his arm in a cast, a big cast, and I'm sharing Christ with him. Well, I notice he's not really paying attention to me. He was, but now he's not, because another group of guys, they've showed up. Well, it's a gang. I didn't know that the guy I'm talking to was a gang leader, and he had a group of guys with him. And this other guy who's walking up now with a group of guys with him is another gang leader. And the guy walking up is drinking a beer. He had a beer bottle. And, of course, the guy I'm witnessing to has an arm in a cast. And, okay, no one's paying attention to me now. I'm just the farm boy from Ohio trying to say, now, can we all walk in love? You know, can we sing, you know, Just As I Am and give our lives to Christ? Well, no, these guys aren't paying attention to me. They're cussing at each other. They're angry. They're ready to fight. And so I back up a little bit because this is new to me. This is not something that happens in farm country, right? We're in the city. You know, Motley Crue is on the inside, you know, jamming. And these guys are ready to fight. And, you know, all of a sudden, the guy with the beer bottle has had enough. He takes the beer bottle by the neck. He slams it down on the curb. Now it breaks. It's all jagged. And now he has a weapon. He thrusts his hands back like he's going to stab this guy. The guy with the cast now, the only weapon he has really is his cast. So he goes to throw his arm back because he's going to hit the guy with the cast. Now, this is all happening pretty fast, but it was like it was in slow motion. That's how I remember it. As soon as these guys were throwing their arms back in order to fight each other, I took a step in. I don't know what happened to me, but it was like the gift of faith came down, such a bold confidence upon me, and out of my mouth came, in the name of Jesus, I bind this. And when I said Jesus, both of their hands went down to their sides, and they both turned the opposite directions with their gangs, with the guys with them, and they all walked away. And it happened fast. It was incredible. And all of a sudden, I'm there, standing there alone. They're all gone. Now, what was happening? Well, the Lord knew I was pressing into him. The Lord knew that I was showing, hey, I'm in this, God. I'm not going to take my life back. And so what the Lord wanted to begin to do is to show me that there are weapons, that there are grace weapons that he's going to add to us as we put our life out there on the line. And I think as I look back, we've seen a lot of things happen, and we'll share more stories about things where the power of God delivered us out of some very bad situations. But this is what I want to focus on: your life being available for God. And I really think probably as I look back over the years, now I'm 56 years old, and that was when I was 18. So, you know, we've had a lot of years now of walking the nations of the world, witnessing, telling people about Jesus, praying with people, and seeing God do some just amazing things that you just sit back and go, oh man, I love walking with the Lord. To think that we're walking with God in the nations, it's overwhelming. It's such a blessing. And to see that he's walking with us, he's walking in us. And so this is the point I want to bring up. I really believe our prosperity, Beth and I, is because we've lived true to a prayer. Lord, our life belongs to you. We're not going to take it back. And I look back over the years at all the things that have happened, whether, you know, you're punched or you're surrounded by angry people wanting to kill you, or you're spit on, you're cursed by now just thousands upon thousands of people, and just the stuff that they say, and it hurts sometimes. But you know what? The Lord watches, and he's watching to see, are you going to take your life back? Are you going to say, well, you know, I've had enough of this. I don't like people putting their hands on me. I don't like the things that people say. I don't like the attacks of the enemy. Or do you live true to this calling? Lord, here's my life. I've given it to you, and I'm not going to take it back. And that's the first thing that God is really looking for, this character trait of faith. We talked about communion with the Lord, and communion with the Lord isn't just a feel-good place. Oh, you know, Lord, I just love being with you. Oh, well, that's part of it. But it's not always a feeling. There's a lot of times you have no feeling, but you're in communion. And maybe you are being punched. Maybe you are being surrounded by people, or hands grabbing you or cursing at you and threatening you. But you maintain the communion with the Lord. And that's what I want to leave you with: communion with the Lord. It's everything. And so get your Bibles out, read through these scriptures that we've been talking about, and begin to put yourself in that position. Lord, here I am. I want your plan. I want your purpose for my life. And began to wait upon him, and then began to put your life out there where you've got to rely on him. And you'll begin to see that he's going to direct your steps, and he's got a great plan for you. That's enough for now. Listen, go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.